No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're up 5 o'clock hour every Wednesday or Thursday. One of the days we have Jason Peter in here. This is Old School, the New School Way, live in effect from 1040 O Street. We are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients of Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andermatt/Old Cheney, and 168th and Maple up there in the O. Before we get into that, very shortly here in about 2 hours, 2.5 hours, Husker fans, don't miss your chance to meet Nebraska star running back Emmett Johnson, 7:30 tonight at Courtyard by Marriott, downtown Lincoln. Entry is 100% free. They will have official Emmett Johnson merchandise and officially licensed Nebraska merchandise available for purchase. It's a rare in-season meet and greet with Nebraska running back Emmett Johnson. Again, tonight, 7:30, Courtyard by Marriott in downtown Lincoln. So good up on him. Hopefully everybody goes out and support him. He's a good kid. And, you know, has been having a great year.
I thought you two might have on the Emmett for Heisman T-shirt that he was rocking at the basketball game.
Oh, Emmett had one?
Oh yeah, yeah. I didn't know he hit the Heisman pose in UCLA.
That. Yeah, I seen that he hit it then.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the work Emmett's done. He's one of the hardest, if not the hardest worker on the team. He's a good kid, all that stuff. But boy, come on. Come on, people. You're smarter than this, right?
You got to push your guy. Yeah.
I understand. But look, this is the problem for me. 2 weeks ago, the narrative coming out of there was Dylan isn't getting enough attention, enough national respect, right? Like, we are a football team. Right. I understand at the end of the year, you want to push your guys, do all that stuff. But right now we have 2 games left to win, you know, 2 games that can salvage the season of what was a horrible schedule, which should have been better than where we are. But this is what happens, right? Like, you cancel a Tennessee game. Those are opportunities where you are on the national stage playing against teams that have at least a good quality opponent, you know, players on the other side, maybe even better. Yeah. That's where you win Heismans. That's where you win All-American honors. You know? Now, a good start would be like, hey, let's get him on the All-Big Ten team. Do you know? I mean, we haven't had
he's got to be on that because is he leading the Big Ten?
He's second nationally in rushing.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be All-Big Ten. If he plays...
How many running backs do they put on, like, first team? Is it 2 running backs? Or do they... Because they don't do a fullback or anything anymore, or right?
So he got a chance to make All-American... I think.
Really? You think?
I was going to say.
I mean, second leading rusher in the nation.
If he plays good, because, I mean, you know, when is the ballots going after this next game? It's usually, because it's.
Yeah, for the Heisman?
No, for All-America. That's got to be next week or two. He plays good at Penn State.
Yeah.
Then he's really in a good position.
Yeah. I mean, now
the thing that hurts him. The beyond the Heisman is that you're not. I mean, the Iowa game is kind of like a, you know, it's 11 o'clock, but we won't be in a championship game.
Right.
You know, like a.
Right.
conference championship.
Yeah, I just think the weak schedule ultimately will hurt you. I mean, that's what those guys that, you know, I mean, you got 10 guys that are, you know, on undefeated or one loss teams that are still competing for national championship here. You know, like, you're not going to get that call over one of those guys. Yeah. You know, when you look at the quarterback from Ohio State, the quarterback from Indiana, you know,
who just had his Heisman moment in that comeback.
Yeah.
I think he could, if he busts off like 150, or if he gets busy these next two games and we win, he could possibly go to New York.
You think? Like, I think New York's a long shot. A real
Ndamukong, well, but look, well, here's the thing that helped Ndamukong was that Big 12 game, right?
Yeah. So what is Emmett's moment? Like, what game do you point to be like, that's it right there?
Yeah.
You know, and it's got to be against somebody that's like, you know, the defense ain't garbage.
Yeah.
Because right now it's the wheel route against UCLA.
Right.
It's good. He's got to do it. Like, if he rips Iowa up, he might got a chance. He'll be on the ballot. Like, they do 10 guys on there. He'll get some votes, I bet.
Right.
How does it work? I don't know how it works. I never was in that position.
I think there's like almost 1,000 voters or something. Yeah. I used to be a Heisman voter when I was over doing the show at 1480. Somehow, I don't know how the heck I got it, but I got a letter in the mail said, hey, we want to be a Heisman voter. I think maybe one of the other older, journalists, maybe like
Dickoff or whatever.
Yeah, Chattel or somebody had kind of,
Yeah, he's gonna. I mean, if he really gets busy, he's got a chance. But you know what? Also, I think that sucks for this. Not even about Emmett, is that these national guys. This is how, and a lot of these guys don't know football. Like, not a lot of these guys that write, because a lot of these guys are internet writers that get on TV. You know what I mean? So they get it.
Yep.
They write, get clicks, get on TV. All of a sudden, their word is bond. So they're just like, well, they'll just. No matter what Nebraska does, since we're not in the national like college football playoffs, they ain't gonna give you the respect that you want anyways. That's why it's so important. Like what you said, the more games you win, like, you know what I'm saying? Then you become, you know, like whatever, you know, like, you know, all American, all Big Ten, all big, you know, second team or whatever, you know, the more wins. Cause there was times that, I mean, what was Ty last year? Honorable mention? Or was he second team?
For
Big Ten.
For Big Ten, I think he was a second team.
Was he second team?
I think he was a second team all Big Ten. And
Ty Robinson, third team for both team. Coaches so, and media.
So when you think like he had 7 sacks last year.
Played well.
Played really well. Fourth round pick.
I know.
It's if like he, when, if he, so
go ahead.
You know what I'm saying? So but if we would have won 2 more games, I'd be willing to bet he was second.
Right. Probably.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you get out of this little bubble of Nebraska, Lincoln, Nebraska, and, you know, like, you know, there are other guys playing football too, other places.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and, you know, maybe it's changed since, you know, when we were playing and stuff, but it always was, what did you do against, you know, the top 10 defense? What did you do against the top 15 offense, you know, like that's what people want to see. You know, you can turn on, you know, whatever you're doing against Maryland or against Northwestern, and you know, nobody's going to give that. I mean, it may be been a good performance, but like when you're talking Heisman, like you got to be a dude that gets through anything.
Yeah. Well,
you were allowed like what, one bad game, maybe?
Well, I mean, just think like. You know, like when I used to get into it with Eddie George, I was like, you ain't the Heisman winner. Right. Tommy was. Right. And it was what, the Oklahoma game?
They voted before the national championship game.
But it was the Oklahoma game. Yeah. You know, it was a tough game. Right. Remember, it was here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was.
And they had a good defense.
They had really all NFL. I mean, it was. I mean, that was a rock 'em, sock 'em type of game. Yeah. And so they used that against T. Frage. And remember, Eddie George had that really good game at home. Was it against Michigan State? There, remember, because he had a huge game that kind of seemed like it propelled him to the Heisman. And you got think of last year with Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah,
you know, he what,
right?
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Do we think Genty last year helps or hurts Emmett's case?
I was about to ask Jason that because, dude, he put up stupid numbers.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, you lose
and didn't win.
You lose to Travis Hunter.
Right.
It's just bad timing.
The last running back to win it. Do we know who it was?
Last running back. Got to be Mark Ingram.
There's one since him.
Oh, maybe the big dude.
Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
2014.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was back when everybody wanted to run the football.
But that's another reason, though, I think that it's going to be a tough road to climb for Emmett because you had so much buzz for a running back last year doing historic stuff.
Yeah.
For the first group of five team in the 12-team playoff. Yeah. And he built up to it for a year. To me, if Emmett wants to win a Heisman, if that's a goal of his, finish strong this year, come back to school, and then have that year next year. The buzz already built.
I mean, that was crazy to me to hear Coach Rhule saying he should go to the NFL.
But the NFL is pretty, like, from my experience, it's supply and demand. If there's an overabundance of guys that, I mean, the reason why I'm saying that is that Penn State has two NFL running backs.
Yeah, right.
They came back because it was a bad year to come out because there's a ton of running backs. You know, it comes down to finances. I mean, it was like if he can make a lot of money here, or you can go and to the league and see where you get drafted.
What is the high side of it for him as a 190-pound, 195-pound running back? Do you know, I'm guessing there's maybe not to the level of Emmett, but there's a lot of guys that are probably out in college football that fit that mold, right? Like, if you're going to get drafted in, the top 2-3 rounds, you truly got to be an every down back, right?
Go.
You got to be built like a brick, you know what?
Yeah.
And,
I mean, it kind of depends on.
And maybe another year of him staying, building up the body even more. Because you saw what a transformation it was from last year to this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like a totally different back. I mean, he's yoked up, but he's just light.
Yeah.
And then when you put on, the tape, Minnesota, him trying to block and everything, they're spending second rounders now, like $1 million a year, pretty much their contract.
Yeah. It kind of, a lot of it depends on.
Or they're getting more than that. Almost, you get down to the fourth round, they're almost getting a million a year.
Paid now. You saw them, the rookie minimum like $200,000 or $300,000, even as a late round pick. So, it's supply and demand, in my opinion, what they're telling you,
right?
And I would tell him, if they tell you that you going between the second and the fourth round, just plan on going to third, fourth round. Don't ever believe these scouts because the only people that make the decisions are the GMs.
Yeah.
That's the honest to God truth. If you don't know a GM personally, which we know a couple, then you got to say, okay, well, what can I come back to Nebraska and get paid? Because actually, to be honest with you, it's more financially, unless you're a first or second round pick, it's more financially smart to come back and play in college. Yeah. Number one, you got security that you're going to play a ton. Number two, if you come back and you're dominant, you're getting paid.
Right.
And the NFL don't really care about the age thing anymore because they don't want to pay anybody second contracts anyways. So you might as well just try to go in there at 30 years old.
Yeah. And it's easier to come back for another year in college and dominate than it is to go in as if you end up getting drafted in the fifth or sixth round or something like that.
You gotta wait for a situation.
The hill to climb is tougher. And then you also have to be successful in order to get that contract. It's a lot harder when you're trying to do it against NFL guys than when you're doing it against college guys.
And trust me, I know coming in as a fifth round pick, outrunning that damn tag of being a fifth round pick.
Right.
is a mofo.
Right.
I'm telling you.
But at least you wanted to be in Buffalo so bad.
I did not. But I'm a, but here's also the thing. When you get drafted late, it's all about the situation.
Yeah.
I was fortunate to go to Buffalo for the opportunity. I had to fight my way on the team. But back then, we played four preseason games. And Wade Phillips said, if you don't make this team, you'll get picked up because there's a ton of tape of you playing. That means you play a lot of rookie. They don't do that anymore.
Right.
And all, the second part, if you talk about situations, Kyle Manungai that got drafted by the Bears in the seventh round, who's a dang good back, the starters got hurt. Now he's the guy.
Right.
So you got to wait for your situation. Right. So, you know, for him, he's just got to make a decision. He's got to finish the season and do, keep doing what he's doing. It'll be all right. But I can tell you, if he, it, to really, he probably up his, he's probably going to get an uptick in pay.
Absolutely. He deserves it.
And he deserves it, right? So you're really not having to make a hard decision.
Right.
You got to think. A year ago, you were getting paid X. You got an uptick this year, and you got a super uptick or get one coming.
Yeah.
If you come back, I mean, you come back and you have close to the year he has this year, right?
Yeah.
If he comes back and has the close to the year he has this year and Nebraska wins, he's definitely beyond all that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. When you look at that schedule, I mean, there's no hiding. There, and that goes for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it'd that schedule really... next year. You get through that, you've earned it.
Yeah.
I would like to see him obviously come back. You know, especially being that he's one of the top two, if not the best player on our team. Yeah. You know, that's
win with him, and you know, Emmett's the type of kid,
and he's a kid that's easy to pay too, right? Like you don't have to worry about him getting into trouble. You don't have to worry about him, you know, disgracing some advertising deal that he's got. You know, like he's a good kid.
Right.
He's and he works hard.
And he's continued to raise his level of play. He's you know, lessen the doubters. And I'm sure if they have, because you know this, they'll tell you, hey, you need to get better at this.
Right. Right.
For next year. I almost guarantee you he's going to work at it. And so it's a, for him, it's a, I don't think it's a hard decision. He just got to make, I know he's got a good people around him. I know him personally. So he'll make a good decision.
It's easy.
You know, whatever he needs to do.
I mean, in the situation, if he finishes strong here these last two games, and then it's like, you know, you just find out, one of your people find out who the top three running backs are in college football. And, you know, you want to be at least in that group right there.
You get in that group and then you go train.
Right.
Another thing which these guys that are trying to go pros need to look at is, what is the NFL – like, what is a good running back in NFL's mind right now? Because it's a copycat league.
Right.
So whoever – you know, look at Derrick Henry. He's a – should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's barely getting used, right? They're like, oh, well, we didn't win with you last year, so we're just going to kind of, you know, dip around with you. Well, now you're seeing more of the – James Cooks and all those guys and all those, so he could slide into that role. But it took Buffalo a little while to get fall in love with James Cook,
right?
Breece Hall, those type of dudes. So you got to make sure that your style of play matches what matches the NFL right now. And in his case, it does. You know, probably the only big knock on him is obviously they'll say size, but more or less just, and they'll equate that to pass blocking. But I'm gonna tell you something, Larry Sinners wasn't nothing but like 205 pounds. He will knock you out.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's all about technique and learning how to, you know, do the things you need to do. So everybody has weaknesses going into the league. But more importantly, he plays well, finishes strong. That's going to be a nice little chill for a couple weeks, you know, before he goes to the bowl game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or like that January is going to be nice opportunity for him. It ain't going to be a hard decision. Because going into that gauntlet, you do need all your horses next year.
Oh yeah. You will not get 2025 confused with 2026.
Yeah. No matter what, no matter if Jed Fish goes and takes UCLA, no matter if Dan Lanning goes to, I don't know, what would he be up to, LSU or something? They still got athletes at those two different places. So anyways, Jason, real quick, as we'll talk more about TJ Lateef, but real quick, we got about 3 or 4 more minutes. What'd you think about the freshman, you know, stepping in? You know, I know UCLA was just okay, but still a freshman stepping in late in the season. Yeah. Give me your thoughts on how he played.
Impressive. You know, I just thought there was better flow to the offense. I thought it looked smooth. You know, whether or not that's, you know, you're basically using the whole field as opposed to maybe before with Dylan, it was more focused on Dylan.
Yeah.
You know, and now it was, you know, there was some Emmett, there was some TJ, it was getting the ball of receivers, you know, getting the tight end involved. I like the flow of the offense. So it was impressive. You know, it obviously wasn't a hostile environment. Yeah. We had more fans out there than they did, or close to. For the kid's first start going into his old, you know, in his home state.
Yeah.
I liked it. You know, defense still got to figure out some stuff against the run,
right,
against mobile quarterbacks. Obviously we don't have a ton of mobile quarterbacks left unless we get something in the bowl game. I mean, the kid from Iowa will run it.
Yeah.
We just need to do a better job up front.
Yeah.
You know, and that comes in with, you know, you just got to know the situation, right? Like, and you got to know who's holding the ball on the other side. Like with a guy like Nico, like you very rarely are you going to get to hit the edges when you're trying to pass rush, you know, especially from an interior guy.
Yeah. So hold on, before I talk about that, what that means, like, yeah, is that more bull rush?
So
like,
that's, or, yeah. Yeah. So normally, you know, if you were rushing the passer against a guard or something, you'd either try to grab that, get hold of that outside shoulder, or do some sort of head fake where you're coming back underneath to, yeah, you know, inside his inside shoulder. But when you have a mobile quarterback, you know, and this is the thing, like it sucked, right? Like there were times when we were playing mobile quarterbacks and it'd be third down, right? And you'd think, all right, man, we worked ourselves here, now third down, now, you know, pin your ears back. And Charlie's calling, like, you know, Husker, you know, power or something. Yeah. And that was basically us two interior guys just bull rushing,
yeah,
you know, and it's not pretty, it's not fun, it burns your legs up. But when you do it, now you have the ability to play off either way, right? Yeah. Right? So if the quarterback decides to tuck the ball and run, if he thinks he sees a seam, boom, you can just snatch off of that offensive lineman and make the play. And you're good for both A and B gap, you know, to help out.
Yeah.
But when you pick a side, and look, I mean, a lot of these offensive linemen, you know, even doing a bad job, they're still going to kind of push you a little bit. You know, if you're trying to hit the outside edge on them, you know, and all they need to do is just a foot or two to get you kind of, you know,
up the field
and a little wider. And that's all that a quarterback like Nico, I mean, you saw, he like, boy, when he decided to run, he was
like a dang like snake a back there. Yeah, man. He's, when he would get going.
Yeah.
Then he tried to run with a little power. I think, that is a hard thing to do. Learn how to, we call it two gap. You know, yeah, essentially bull rush guys. And then as a linebacker, you know, you can't have any bad footwork because he is fast.
Right.
And he's big enough, even though he's not like weight wise big. 6'6" creates a lot of leverage for him, you know, to gain an extra yard, fall forward. But then you don't want to run yourself out of a potential to come back and be a secondary tackler. And that's where they put a lot of pressure on you. They make you play 11 on 11. And really, I think when you're going against a quarterback run game, somebody's got to win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't care if it's RPO. I don't care if it's, you know, just delayed or whatever. Somebody's got to win.
Right.
Somebody's got to make a play, and make a play within the confines of the defense is most important. I felt like TJ, you know, what he was able to do, I think the best thing they did was get him off to a good start.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he had that one play. I think it was first and 10. Didn't see his first thing, then he got 7 yards.
Right.
So now he's not thinking,
right,
man, I got to get 12 yards or I got sacked. So they got him off to a good start. It will be a bigger challenge for him because now they got a whole week's worth to take.
Yep.
So in the second segment, we'll come back and I'm going to ask you what's your expectations of him for the rest, next couple seasons. I was going to be the toughest.
I think Penn State's still going to be tough, too.
But Penn State, yeah, on the road is going to be three times as many people.
Right.
Then
they haven't played in I don't think a road game like this, have they? Yeah. I mean when you look at,
is it 105 people, 105 or 1,000?
Yeah, not 105 million. That'd be a little over the top.
But it's senior
Nebraska
day.
Nebraska would still show out.
It'll be senior day. So, yeah, you know, they're going to want to obviously to win one more at home. But yeah, we could talk more
about that. Yeah, we'll take a quick break. Old school, we'll be right back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, we're back. Jason Peter, Jason Foreman, Austin Orman, old school, the new school way on this Wednesday. Jason, before we went to break, I was mentioning, look, in this game of football, man, once you get started, every challenge, especially late in the season, it's bigger and stronger challenges. Probably no bigger, considering the crowd at right. Penn State. Not only, you know, TJ, but what do you want to see out of the offense after, you know, a good start with him at the helm last week?
Yeah, I mean, they just got to pick up where they left off. I mean, you got to – obviously, you're dealing with a different athlete now on the other side of the ball. I mean, give James Franklin credit. Like, he built an NFL pipeline there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they were putting two dudes out in the first round in a lot of years. I mean, some of the best players in each given year. So they've got talent there. Yeah, offense just needs to keep doing what they're doing, you know, or what they did last week. You know, get TJ going, keep feeding Emmett. You know, it can't be a deal where Emmett only gets, you know, 14, 15 touches. Yeah. He's got to be closer to 20, if not 20, you know, maybe more.
Yeah.
You know, like, burn the tread off those tires right now. Yeah. There's only a couple games left.
Yeah.
You know, there's no point in saving anything, right? Yeah. Like, this is it. And, you know, defense too. Like, to me, now you got a different offensive line. Like, you got some big dudes up there on Penn State. Like, their left guard or something, like 71. Like, this is a dude, I don't know if you saw him. Like, I think it was after the Ohio State game or something. Like, one of the equipment guys was, like, pushing. Like, some, you know, probably had all the something in there. And he was pushing it uphill. And this dude, like, just kind of one-handed grabbed, like, the railing. There was, like, a brick wall or something. One hand. This dude's, like, 340, 350. Right? Austin, you see this video? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Give the guy a hand. Just here
he
go.
He one hands it and he, you know, double legs it over, like, just a real athletic move.
Like a gymnast for a second.
Yeah. And, you know, like, you now might be a good time to go to a four-man front, you know, against these guys, because you're going to put Nwari, you're going to put Cam down there and have them try to play three technique against these dudes. They're going to get annihilated. They just do not, they don't have enough in their ass to hold up, I don't think. And the technique in terms of, you know, a defensive end going in and playing, you know, two technique or three technique. I think that's been an issue all year, is those guys trying to go down inside and they just can't handle when you're getting, you know, double teams or combo blocks or, you know, I mean, and things just happen faster when you go down inside. There's not as much room, you know, you don't get to use your eyes. It's more about feel. So it's going to be tough. You know, even though Penn State has struggled, you know, by their record, you know, like we said, I think it's senior day. You know, it's going to be one of the last times, I guess, people get to go into that stadium and watch a game. So, you know, this year. So I'm guessing, you know, like, they'll be jacked up for it.
Because they don't have a chance to make a bowl game, right?
No, I think
Indiana lost that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're 3-6 now, right?
Penn State right now is just they're 3-6. So they need to win out against Michigan State, Nebraska, and Rutgers to make a bowl.
Okay, so they have three games left. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's still there for them to make it to a bowl.
Yeah. You know, offensively for Nebraska, Jim Knowles,
he's had a rough year.
He got lucky. Not lucky. I mean, he obviously knows what he's doing. But that year in Oklahoma State, because I know Kenyatta Wright, we played together. He was like, man, he kind of got on like a four-game hot streak.
Yeah.
Ryan Day needed a defensive coordinator because they felt like Kerry Combs was too old, who actually is an Ohio State dude.
Right.
They got him, and they said he's like, Jay, he blitzes too much. Like, it's like he's like gambles too much. So Nebraska's able to hit some seams against him, and they got to win. This is probably the most disciplined secondary they'll play.
Right.
They tackle well.
Yep.
You know, I think the confidence that Nebraska potentially could get is that, you know, they beat UCLA, UCLA beat Penn State, but they got to look at how.
Yeah.
They beat him. And then try to do that. But yeah, the, you know, linebackers got to play huge. This is a game. You know, I remember Reggie Herring, when you play Pittsburgh,
right.
You know, he's like, you know, he came in there and he put up 40 plus up there. He's like, you guys got better be a factor combined.
Right.
Me and that time, Jamie Sharper, 40 plus plays.
Yeah.
And same thing for Nebraska. I don't think they'll be 40 just because they might only get 60 plays. Is that they got to be a huge, huge, huge presence in this game.
Right. Do we know why McCullough didn't play last week?
I think it's hurt.
Is hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah, some sort of leg injury of some sort. Rule said he was close to being able to play, but they were in a little bit cautious and that they expect to have him back after the bye week.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to need everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to have to have a really good week of practice, dial in on some of the tips or whatever it is, and they got to tackle well.
Oh, yeah.
And because you want to give the offense more chance in favorable situations. And the difference is that is stopping them from getting one extra first down
right.
And being able to get a big return. Special teams are going to have to be
yep.
really big. They're able to, you know, get these last two games.
They're winnable.
Yeah, they're winnable. They'll get to a pretty good bowl game, right? What projected at?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Citrus Bowls had people at the Husker games for a couple weeks. Now I know they were at Memorial Stadium back-to-back weeks for Northwestern and USC.
Where is the Citrus Bowl? Is that Florida?
Yeah, that's a Florida one. Maybe an Arizona type of bowl. 7-5, you're probably talking Los Angeles-ish or early, like mid-December probably.
Florida bowl game. What's the temperature out there in mid-December, Jason?
In LA. In California? I mean, you can still get nice days out there. Like, are we talking nighttime kickoff? I mean,
I would assume so. Afternoon.
Yeah. It'd probably evening. Be similar to maybe a little cooler than what they played in just now.
I wanted to ask you, Jason, you lived down in LA for a little while. We were talking about the UCLA Bruins. I didn't know that Pasadena Rose Bowl is 30 miles away from campus.
Yeah.
Now they're saying that they want to go to SoFi,
yeah.
which is only 13.
Right.
Do you think that's part of the problem, like, for them? Because if I'm a student, how long does 30 miles take you to drive in California?
It's at least an hour for those kids to get there.
At least. That's a good day.
Yeah. Yeah. Because depending on what time of the kickoff is. But that's what, you know, that's what I think it takes those kids to get out there to the Rose Bowl. Yeah. You got to have a stadium closer than that. I mean, even Miami for those guys. Actually, I can't talk on that. I'm not sure how
they bus their students to the game.
They do.
Because they're
now at Pro Player or when it was the OB.
Pro Player.
Okay.
Now to those games.
Right.
Because it's far and it's logistically a nightmare.
Yeah.
Austin was talking about there's a soccer stadium.
Their soccer track kind of hybrid seats 11-7 right now, but it's on campus. And Jeff Schwartz, former NFL guy who grew up in LA, says, hey, let's work on converting that. Just build a new, you know, track and soccer facility.
Right.
Or do the high school style. Yeah. No, shoot. Keep the track around the outside just for kicks and kicks.
I know what soccer field you're talking about.
He said it's what, two open ends, so you could put
whatever you want.
It's like halfway from LA to Orange County, which is like an hour. And I want to say it's probably like 20 minutes from LA or something like that. Maybe if that's the same.
Is that the one? But this one was on campus, right?
Yeah, it's on campus. Yeah, okay. They used it for track.
Right okay, now. This is different then. Yeah.
We were saying that possibly they could put, I don't know, 30, 40 more thousand seats.
Right.
50, yeah, you know,
I mean, obviously the support there is down, so you don't need to be playing in a stadium that holds 100,000.
Right. Yeah, it's all. It'd be interesting.
And then you go in as UCLA in the SoFi. It's like, is this our home? You know what I mean? Like, you know, like the Rose Bowl. I get it, even though it takes you know it's outside, off of campus or whatever. They've been connected to that for so long, but with SoFi,
right.
You know, it's such like a sterile kind of NFL environment.
Yeah. Well, that's why UCLA wants it, because they think they can get more people in the premium suites.
Right.
Ain't going to happen.
No.
Ain't going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, we can't.
I don't know who their big donors are, but, you know, going out.
You won't give us any NIL money.
Right.
but right. but come and pay something for these seats to watch our crappy football team.
Yeah.
Jason, with all the openings in college, and you've seen this stuff with Brian Kelly, right? Where they're trying not to pay him now.
I saw that something about that. So they're trying to say that they're obviously he was fired with cause.
Well, they're saying we didn't fire you.
And the now it's for cause.
Yeah,
it wasn't before. Now we found a reason.
Yeah.
Do you think that would deter? Like, okay, say you're Jason Peter and you're head coach at Tulane,
right?
And you're the next coming up, and they're like, and they call you because you know you're close proximity. Would that deter you from going there?
I mean, for me, like if I'm coaching at Tulane, I mean, I guess you could hold your breath and see if there were other offers if you're a guy. But if like they just kind of cherry picked you out and I, you know, it was like, hey, LSU. But if you were a guy that you knew that you were going to have multiple offers,
right?
I think you
like
look
Dan
for
Lanning.
Yeah. I think then you look for a school that where the infrastructure, you know, and everything is kind of set up better. I mean, you got politicians that are getting involved in this whole thing. Now you're trying to
AD has issues, right? Right?
Yeah, Virgil Osberry was part of a Title IX scandal not that long ago.
Yeah, they just got
The way, he was hand appointed by the governor.
Yeah. But then the new president was like, yeah, I guess I'll make him the AD. Like, yeah, why not? I guess I'll get around to it after I get my stuff done. So I want to ask your opinion, like, because there's a lot of big jobs out. I think anytime there's three blue bloods out there is huge. But there's sneaky good jobs out there or potential good jobs like Arkansas.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go to Oklahoma. I mean, just imagine if you go and win 6-7 games the first year at Oklahoma State.
Right.
Or all these jobs. I mean, heck, if you're trying to get your wherewithal, you could go up to like Colorado State and try to really turn up. I was wondering, in your opinion, with all these coaching jobs, like who's going to fill these jobs?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously the names that are going to be mentioned, which have been, are Kiffin, obviously, is one who they're expecting, you know, but I don't know if. Honestly, I don't know if Lane leaves. I mean, he seems happy,
right?
You know, at Old Miss, he can kind of be his quirky little self down there, and they love him for it. And the reality is, he's not too far away from playing for a championship.
Yeah, well, he's in the mix this year,
right?
Yeah.
Lanning, obviously, like you mentioned. I mean, I don't know, like, what other. Pat Fitzgerald, maybe, you know, will he,
that's
can,
why,
can
yeah.
he make, you know,
do you, let me ask you this. You're the president of the university. Do you hire him?
I mean, he officially was cleared, right? Yeah. Of all issues. I mean, I think he's a really good football coach.
I think he's a great football coach.
Yeah. I think he's really good. And I mean, what he was able to do all those years at Northwestern with considerably less talent than pretty much all the other schools. And you know, like, you're getting, like, he's a football guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's a football guy.
Let me ask you this before we go to break. Well, who would you hire first, Fitzgerald or John Gruden?
Oh.
Because he says he wants to coach college now.
Really?
Probably. Well, first of all, he got that big lawsuit he's going to win.
Yeah.
He ain't getting in the NFL.
Yeah.
So he'd been saying for, what, last 3 months?
Yeah.
Last 3 months, he wants to coach in college. And he probably said, or he said SEC, but I'm sure he would coach in the Big Ten.
Between those two, I think I'm still going with Fitzgerald.
Yeah, he got to college.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can see, can you see John Gruden?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's got that mentality. It almost be like, you know, Charlie being a head coach kind of, you know, I mean, they're built just straight fire.
Yeah. It'd probably just be depending on the staff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the story at every, right?
Yeah,
no matter who's coaching. Yeah. Like, the assistants are the main ingredient and all that. They're the one that spend all the time with the kids. They're the ones that are teaching. You know, the head coach just kind of moseys from here to there, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. He's got to go do press conferences, all that stuff. Got to seal the deal on recruiting calls, you know. But, like, the ones that are developing, the ones that are have the most impact on your 18, 19, 20-year-old kids are the assistant coaches.
And
you,
the volunteers.
Yeah, and the volunteers.
Hell yeah.
I've been waiting.
Hell
hey,
yeah.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break and come back. We're going to talk about the Volunteers that might just get paid. Jay Foreman and Jason Peter. We'll be right back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, Jay Foreman, Jason Peter, Austin Orman, old school. Real quick before we turn it over to Bill Michener and the Lighthouse. They always do good stuff. We see Bill coming across the street. But Jason, we alluded to it before, man. You know, the Volunteers, yeah. Finally.
Yeah. Finally getting a little respect.
A little respect, here. Man. It was, won't name any names, but somebody previous, you know, kind of just skipped town.
Yeah. Just figured since they got fired, he wasn't responsible to pay anybody else.
Oh, man. We were talking off air, Jason. I want your opinion real quick because you're obviously from Jersey. Now, did you grow up a Jets or a Giants fan?
Giants fan.
All right. So as a Giants fan, do you think there's a chance that they bring back Bill Belichick?
For me to – I mean, how old is he now? Is he
78?
It's close to 78. Gotta be, right?
But
Bill Belichick, 73.
Yeah, he's still young.
All right, so he can still coach, right? Like, but if I'm George Young, or George Young's dead, Tisch or whoever, you know.
And Mara.
Mara. I say, if you take this job, girlfriend's gone, right? You cannot be bringing the distractions that you brought down to Chapel Hill up here. Right, it's big boy league here now, and I mean, you know, like, look, the dude's still a great coach, right? We talked about it. I mean, they were going to rename the Lombardi Trophy after Belichick, right? Like, so this guy hasn't just forgot how to coach, right? He, I mean, I'm sure for however bad it was down in Chapel Hill, it was probably worse than what we had everybody else had known about. But he also brought a lot of distraction down there with him, so. You know, I don't know if you can, I mean, that's maybe something that you say to him, you know, under the table or, you know, when the mic's not on.
Yeah, you can't hire him, then say it. You got to make sure.
Right.
Beforehand.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, 73 years old, she's what, not even 30? Is she 30 yet?
No, she's like just out of college, mid-20s. Right.
24, 25.
And, you know, like, I mean, come on. You know what I mean? Come on. Like, he can honestly, like, Bill Belichick could probably still walk into some New York City nightclub and pull, something 30 years old as well. You know, like, he could find another one. But she has just kind of gotten out of line a little bit in terms, you know, like, her what she's taking on, and it doesn't seem like, I don't know if he just kind of doesn't seem present sometimes. Like when he did that one interview, like on 60 Minutes or something with the ripped sweatshirt and everything. And she's over there. She's like, oh, we're not answering that question. We're not answering that. We're not doing that. We're not talking about that. We're, you know, like, I mean, look, you can go up to New York. You can find one that, you know, is just happy waiting for you at home. Do you know what I mean?
Just imagine Bill Belichick going into like a club. Hey, real quick, I always tell people there's a difference in fans. Explain it between the Jets and the Giants. Explain the difference.
So the Giants fans would be almost like, say, what Nebraska fans look at, say, University of Michigan, right? Like upper class. Jets fans. Now, it was always great going back playing Jets, right? Because then that's when, you know, the fireman dude was getting all riled up. I mean, those are the guys that are standing out there, no t-shirt on. Yeah. It's 10 degrees out, snowing. Like they are just, they're more like the Long Island, Staten Island, you know, kind of, you know, but you still get some of them in Jersey. But yeah, it's Damien, my younger brother, was a Jets fan.
Yeah.
But the rest of the family was a Giants, Giants fan.
Yeah, man. The Jets fans, they do their research though.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah,
like they'll get in the media guide and they don't have a line that they won't cross.
But when the Jets are good, you know, it's not often, but when they are, and that place, you know, the old Giant Stadium, the Meadowlands, I'm sure the new MetLife or whatever, they get cranking.
Yeah,
you know,
Yeah, they get after it a little bit.
It's like a Steelers crowd.
Right, yeah, a little blue collar or whatever you want to call it. So, all right, man, one more week down, bye week. Got to win the bye week. I don't know how you win the bye week, but I win the bye week. Onward to Penn State. Jay Foreman, Jason Peter, Austin Norman. We'll holler at you next week.